Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
Another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great day when there is great currency to the slogan, follow the science. But what does that mean? What does that mean when it comes to the science of gender? That's a big issue. Marjorie Taylor Greene actually has inspired some controversy with a sign where she says the science is clear. And I actually think she's right about this one. We will get to that. We will also get to what does it mean when people insist that there is a conflict between science and faith. Is there really, or can science actually strengthen faith? We'll be talking with Dr. Steve Meyer about that. He's the author of the soon-to-be-released new book, essential new book, Return of the God Hypothesis. And he, of course, his background is very much in science with a PhD in the history of science from Cambridge University. We'll be speaking to Dr. Meyer coming up from Discovery Institute. But first off, there is a great deal of debate and discussion going on about the so-called Equality Act that was passed yesterday by the House of Representatives. There were only three Republicans in the House of over 200. Only three Republicans who voted for it. So why are Republicans against equality? Why is this Republican against equality? Because, first of all, the Equality Act is completely unnecessary, and it's completely misleading, and it basically is trying to put the government unequivocally on the side of very dubious science about gender, to put the government on the side of those who say that, well, you can never really tell what gender you are, that there is no measure, that it is not, it is something that you can choose and vary and make your own choices about. And yes, that's a great deal of difficulty, especially when you're talking about a sweeping act like this that would basically take away a lot of individual discretion on how you reach equality or what that even means. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. The story over in the Wall Street Journal, the House voted 224 to 206, so it's a party line vote, on legislation to ban discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity, an expansive effort that has spurred fierce opposition among conservatives over religious freedom and set off a new round of partisan fighting in Congress. Let me say that there is virtually no chance that this legislation will pass the Senate. And as a matter of fact, it's not even clear. Chuck Schumer, who's the Senate Majority Leader, who gets to schedule, he hasn't even scheduled a debate on it yet because he knows he will never get more than 60 votes. And one of the things about the Senate filibuster, which is so essential to defend, and thank God, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, two Democrats in the U.S. Senate, are opposed to eliminating the filibuster. So basically, that's how close it is. It's with those two individuals, they are keeping the filibuster alive, which means you'd have to get 60 votes. There are virtually no Republican senators who, certainly not enough to provide for the Democrats in passing this Equality Act that just passed the House over in the Senate. And one of the problems with it is that, first of all, there was a court decision, and this was a court decision where I think that it was Justice Gorsuch, who was entirely wrong, that says that the Civil Rights Act of 1964, when they eliminated discrimination based upon sex, that also meant based upon identity. And the difficulty here is, for instance, with Medicaid, with all the different government medical programs, does this mean you're now obligated to pay for sex change surgery? What is now supposed to be referred to as gender confirmation surgery. And the problem with that is there is very, very little medical evidence. This has been questioned in medical journals. It's been questioned at leading medical schools like Johns Hopkins. Whether or not this kind of surgery, which involves some pretty rough treatment of the people who undergo it, whether it even results in people being happier or healthier. Usually you don't authorize major surgery or hormone treatment or all kinds of alterations of the human anatomy. You don't authorize that unless there is a clear benefit. Rand Paul actually did a very good job confronting a Dr. Rachel Levine, who is transgendered. She is a nominee to be Assistant Health and Human Services Secretary in the Biden cabinet. And listen to the way that that Rand Paul pushed his questions. This is clip 19A.
Dr. Levine, do you believe that minors are capable of making such a life-changing decision as changing one's sex?
Well, Senator, thank you for your interest in this question. Transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field with robust research and standards of care that have been developed. And if I am fortunate enough to be confirmed as the Assistant Secretary of Health, I would look forward to working with you and your office and coming to your office and discussing the particulars of the standards of care for transgender medicine.
The specific question was about minors. Let's be a little more specific since you evaded the question. Do you support the government intervening to override the parent's consent to give a child puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and or amputation surgery of breasts and genitalia? You have said that you're willing to accelerate the protocols for street kids. I'm alarmed that poor kids with no parents who are homeless and distraught, you would just go through this and allow that to happen to a minor.
It's not just allow it to happen. It's to use government funds, taxpayer funds, to make it happen. She continues to evade the question. This is clip B. Listen.
What I'm alarmed at is that you're not willing to say absolutely minors shouldn't be making decisions to amputate their breast or to amputate their genitalia. For most of our history, we believe that minors don't have full rights and the parents need to be involved. So I'm alarmed that you won't say with certainty that minors should not have the ability to make the decision to take hormones that will affect them for the rest of their life. Will you make a more firm decision on whether or not minors should be involved in these decisions?
Senator, transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field, and if confirmed to the position of Assistant Secretary of Health, I would certainly be pleased to come to your office and talk with you and your staff about the standards of care and the complexity of this field.
Let it go into the record that the witness refused to answer the question.
And repeated the same canned response twice. Look, I think that Rand Paul is completely right about this. In other words, we're not now talking about any potential legislation that would block people from choosing to have, quote, gender confirmation surgery. But what we're talking about here is a sweeping bill that would basically obligate the government to provide that kind of surgery. We have already had court cases that say that when people are serving life prison terms and they decide that they need, quote, gender confirmation surgery that would shift them from a male prison to a female prison, that it's the obligation of government to pay for that. That's not following the science. We will get back to that and more coming up. Does science conflict with basic religious values? Coming up on the MedVet Show. Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are four key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain. Dr. Stephen Meyer is a New York Times bestselling author, and his new book, Return of the God Hypothesis, makes the case for the undeniable intelligent design of the universe. And it's already looking like a smash hit. Clear, compelling, and entertaining to read. Meyer skewers materialism, a must-read, and a convincing argument. Those are just some of the comments from the more than 40 scientists who've endorsed the book. Using discoveries from cosmology and physics in Return of the God Hypothesis, Meyer reveals his stunning conclusion. The science supports not just the existence of an intelligent designer, but the existence of a personal God. Pre-order at discovery.org/medved. That's discovery.org/medved. And get these special pre-order perks. A sneak peek at an exclusive excerpt from the book, a free digital booklet about intelligent design, discounts for Dr. Meyer's online course, and an invitation to a private online meeting with Dr. Meyer. Get all this when you pre-order at discovery.org/medved.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
On the Michael Medved Show, there's an argument out there that goes under the heading follow the science, and when applied to questions of basically about the origins of life, about basically the nature of the universe, the follow the science argument usually comes together with a belief that you gotta choose. It's either science or faith. Hey, hold on a minute, says Dr. Steve Meyer. He is the author of the soon-to-be-released new book. You can find out about a special offer for MedVed listeners at discovery.org/MedVed. His new book is called Return of the God Hypothesis, Three Scientific Discoveries That Reveal the Mind Behind the Universe. The hardcover book is coming out March 30th, 2021, but you can place your advance order with all kinds of side benefits now. Steve, first of all, when did this start, the idea that it was either science or faith? Because some of our greatest scientists were men of profound faith, as you make clear in your book. When did we begin this idea that you have to make a binary choice?
Actually, it was fairly late in the game, Michael. Late 19th century, historians of science began to portray the relationship between faith in God and scientific work as a kind of warfare. It was called the warfare model. And there were books by people like Andrew Dickinson White and others who recast the history of science as this ongoing battle between the forces of science and rationality on one hand and belief in God and the other, on the other. But in fact, as you point out, if you go back to the foundation of modern science, the period that historians of science now call the Scientific Revolution, from roughly 1500 to 1700 and even stretching back a bit before then, you have, as you said, men of profound religious faith who were played the formative role in getting science going. People like Robert Boyle, the great English chemist, Johannes Kepler, the great German astronomer, and of course Sir Isaac Newton, who was a deeply religious person and believed that through science he was learning more about the mind of God. And so there, this idea that the two were opposed, that science and faith in God were opposed, is really a fairly late origin, late 19th century.
And what about some of the other figures in scientific history? I know that the people who push the idea of it's either faith or science, and that faith really is a science stopper, they like to cite the example of Galileo. And why is that misleading?
Well, it's actually a much more interesting story than the one that's usually presented. The idea is that Galileo ran into trouble with the Catholic Church and that they were trying to suppress science. But in fact, the Catholic Church at the time had adopted a kind of syncretistic view of the solar system that was derived largely from the work of Aristotle. And there were Catholic theologians on both sides of that issue as to whether Aristotle's geocentric view or the new heliocentric view that had the sun at the center of the solar system was correct. And at the time, it wasn't possible to actually prove the answer one way or another. So there was an ongoing debate. Galileo was a devout Christian himself, and had made the point to many of the people in the authority at the Vatican that the Bible, as he put it, tells us how to go to heaven, not how the heavens go. And we need to look to the book of nature as much as to the book of Scripture to answer questions about nature. And so he believed that nature was a book that revealed the handiwork of God. So this wasn't really a debate between people who believed in God and people who didn't, but people who had two different views about the solar system, one Aristotelian and one, I would argue, more empirical, and that ultimately proved to be right. Galileo was also a little bit of an impolitic person who had a penchant for offending people in authority. He wrote a famous dialogue in which he cast the enlightened scientist in an argument against a figure that he portrayed as Simplicio, and then put the words of the Pope in the mouth of Simplicio, which was a little bit impolitic on his part. So the story's a little bit more complicated. It's not a science versus Christianity or science versus theism or belief in God or science versus the Bible. It was really two different groups of people who both believed in God debating whether the Aristotelian view was correct or not.
Okay, there are lots and lots of ancient cultures, and this is a point you make in the book. The Greeks you just mentioned, we're talking about Aristotle. The Romans, of course, the Chinese, the ancient Egyptians, some 3,000 years B.C. These ancient cultures were very sophisticated about technology, but they never really developed what we would call today scientific thinking. Why not?
That's the famous why then, why there question that historians of science have asked. Why did science begin in its modern form, where systematic methods of investigating nature arose and were very successful? Why did those methods arise during that period from roughly 1500 to 1700, maybe stretching back to 1300? And many historians think that the crucial difference was not sophistication, it wasn't the differences in the material culture, it was essentially an ideological difference. There were different set of ideas about nature, and in particular, the relationship of God to nature. So one key idea that arose out of the out of the Hebrew Bible that was recovered during the period of late medieval Catholic theology and the Reformation was the idea of a lawful order that was imposed upon nature from the outside. It was the historians call this the idea of contingent order, that there was an order in nature, everyone could see that, but people who believed the Bible, going back to the book of Job, believed that that order was something that was imposed on nature by God and could have been otherwise because it was imposed by God's free choice. So Newton discovered the famous inverse square law that described the forces of attraction between planetary bodies. Physicists have wondered, why did it have to be an inverse square law? Why couldn't it have been an inverse cubed? Or why might it not have been just a linear relationship or something else? There is an order in nature, but it could have been otherwise. And so during this period of the scientific revolution, scientists realized that because nature was made by God and had an order, but the order could have been different, it was incumbent upon them to investigate that order empirically. They couldn't do as the ancient Greeks had done and just reason deductively doing armchair philosophy. And so this idea that the order in nature was the product of a creator actually gave rise to the empirical method.
The book is called Return of the God Hypothesis. You should check it out. There's fascinating information right up at our website at discovery.org/Medved. You can find out all about the book. When I come back with Steve, I want to talk about a million-year-old tusk. Yeah, they found one from a mastodon. Big questions coming up with Dr. Steve Meyer, author of Return of the God Hypothesis.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is in Houston assessing damage from the cold snap. Biden also visiting an emergency operations center in Houston and praising employees for their work. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky says declines in new cases of the coronavirus may be stalling.
We are watching these concerning data very closely to see where they will go over the next few days. But it's important to remember where we are in the pandemic. Things are tenuous. Now is not the time to relax restrictions.
Dr. Walensky also sounded more warnings about the growth of virus mutations or variants. Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine is up for final approval from the FDA today. An FDA advisory committee discussing whether to approve the vaccine for emergency use. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Love your show.
The Michael Medved Show.
I give it 4 stars.
A pleasure to speak to Dr. Steve Meyer, my friend, who is the head of the Institute for Science and Culture at Discovery Institute, talking about the non-war, or at least the exaggerated and distorted war between science and faith. He is the author of the new book, Return of the God Hypothesis. You can get a special offer that really does give you all kinds of advantages and additional information, additional opportunities for interaction at discovery.org/Medved. Special offers for Medved listeners to order an advanced copy of the book and these other benefits that you'll read about. Steve, I wanted to get into the new atheists and why they are important, but first I wanted to ask about two other items in the news. It seems unbelievable to me, because when you look at it, there was a recent news story, and it was just a couple of months ago, with the headline, 9 million year old mastodon remains found in Kanakale, Turkey. And they've found other several million year old mastodon remains in permafrost in Siberia and all over the place. Okay, they have the DNA samples from some of these bones and for some of the fur that was preserved in the permafrost. And it turns out, believe it or not, they think that, yep, those mastodons evolved into modern elephants. Okay, why aren't those elephants, according to the whole theory of evolution, why did they evolve to be smaller? But they didn't evolve to be any smarter than the ancient elephants were from 9 million years ago. Why didn't that happen?
Well, the kind of evolution that we actually can document, often called microevolution, takes place as certain traits are fixed in populations, and usually that occurs as certain aspects of the larger aspects of the gene pool are lost to isolated populations. So most of the evolution that we actually observe, that none of us doubt, is the consequence of a loss of genetic information and the fixation of certain traits. So a differentiation between daughter populations coming from a common parent population that had a larger initial supply of genetic information. What's fascinating to me about this recent mammoth mastodon finds is that they've actually been able to sequence the DNA. So we actually are able to know on a letter-by-letter basis what some of the genes were for building, and I think it was a molar that they were first able to sequence in a mammoth of over a million years. So some of the oldest DNA ever sequenced, which underscores a really important point, which is that if you want to build a new form of life anywhere in the history of life, from the first living cell to the trilobites and the Cambrian explosion to these mammals during the Ice Age, you have to have new information, new code. Just as in the computer world, if you want to give your computer a new function, you've got to have new code, new software. To build a new form of animal life, we now know that you need that information stored in DNA, and that raises one of the big questions that I raise in the book. Where does that information come from? We know in our experience that information always comes from a mind. If DNA is like a software program, as our local hero Bill Gates has said, then that implies the need for a master programmer to account for the information necessary to build all these fundamentally new forms of life. The evolutionary process tends to degrade information, but the origin of new forms of life requires a big boost or burst of information. That suggests design from outside the system.
Well, and of course, all of that is new with our understanding of DNA and the way that it works and its resemblance to computer code. So what is new about the new atheists in basically holding up their side of the debate?
That's a great question. A clever way of framing the question, because the new atheism really isn't new. We were talking in the last segment about the origin of modern science during the period that historians call the scientific revolution, in the time of Galileo and Kepler and Boyle and Newton and the great founders of modern science, who were all deeply religious men. During the late 19th century, there was a shift in the dominant worldview of many scientists, and scholars call that worldview scientific materialism or scientific naturalism. And that's the idea that matter and energy, or the physical stuff of the natural world, is all that really exists, and there's nothing beyond the universe, the physical universe. So no God, no personal creator of any kind. And that viewpoint became dominant in the late 19th century with figures like Charles Darwin, Karl Marx, Sigmund Freud in the early 20th century, and many others. And we kind of inherited that interpretation of what science means from those scientists and scholars at the end of the 19th century. What I'm arguing in the new book is that we've had some very significant discoveries in cosmology and physics and biology that are challenging that dominant materialistic perspective, and that the God hypothesis that gave rise to modern science is actually coming back. The new atheists have done nothing more than popularize the perspective of late 19th century scientific materialists. And so it's not really a new perspective at all, though they've done a very good job popularizing it with the genre of books that have been published since about 2006. Books like The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins, or God's Not Great by Christopher Hitchens, and many others. So it's a popularization of a really, I argue in the book, an outdated perspective from the late 19th century.
One of the things that they, and I know this from reading the book again, The Return of the God Hypothesis, and you should find out about it by going to discovery.org/Medved. One of the things that they emphasize is this idea of their certainty that there is life in other planets, other solar systems, other star systems, other galaxies, that there's lots and lots of life out there. What happens if they don't find these indications of ancient life on Mars that they're supposed to be looking for with perseverance.
Right. Well, if you're an evolutionary materialist, then the idea, then you necessarily hold that life is essentially inevitable under the right sorts of conditions, that it will evolve by undirected natural processes if you just start with the right chemistry. So evolutionary materialists anticipate that life should be greatly abundant throughout the universe and even within our solar system. It's the inevitability of life self-organizing leads to that conclusion. Theists, on the other hand, and proponents of intelligent design would not be shocked if life were found elsewhere, but they don't think it's inevitable. They recognize that the conditions that are required to build life are extremely improbable and therefore rare. And indeed, we have yet to find any indication of life anywhere else in the solar system or any other extrasolar planets that give any indication of being capable of hosting life. Life-friendly planets and environments seem to be incredibly improbable. So if there is no indication of life on Mars, I think it would be a blow to those who think that life is easy to evolve under a reasonable set of conditions. If it is found, I don't think it would be a blow to those who hold to the theory of intelligent design, though I think most of us are inclined to think that it's either unlikely or if there is some indication of life, it might be the product of DNA having been blown through the solar wind across the expanse between our planet and Mars. But in any case,
that,
I don't think it will shock ID people.
That relates to the subtitle of your book. Subtitle of the book, Return of the God Hypothesis, Three Scientific Discoveries That Reveal the Mind Behind the Universe. Part of that is the fine-tuning necessary for life to even exist. Check it out. Go to discovery.org/Medved for the special offer available for pre-orders of this extraordinarily important book. We'll be right back.
Portions of the Michael Medved Show are brought to you in part by the Discovery Institute.
Did Charles Darwin's work impact society for better or worse? Go to discovery.org/Medved and get the free digital book, Darwin's Three Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. Learn how Darwin actually impacted faith, morality, medicine, criminal justice, and much more. Ideas have consequences. For a limited time, get your free copy of Darwin's Three Big Ideas at discovery.org/Medved. That's discovery.org/Medved.
Right now is a great time to become a Medhead at MichaelMedved.com. And what do you get for your money? The 3-hour daily broadcast, commercial free, show archives going back over 5 years, all of Michael's current commentaries as well as commentary archives, added discounts at the Medved History Store, and a Listen Live tab where you can catch all of the news and Michael's views that are happening in real time. Go to the website, click the Medhead banner, and sign up today. Make sure to use the promo code WINTER40.
Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Attention radio listeners. If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electricity, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited number of solar backup generators are now back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently in in your own home. So whether it's dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. And the best news, this week only, listeners purchasing a solar generator will receive hundreds of dollars in free off-the-grid bonuses. So go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Again, supplies are extremely limited, so go to mysolarbackup.com today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Michael Medved show, talking about science and the public interest and public issues. There is very clear science about school reopenings. And yesterday, a very strong case, a passionate case, was made for school reopening by Mitt Romney. And he did so in aggressive questioning on Xavier Becerra, who is the Biden nominee for the Secretary of Health and Human Services. And Senator Romney had this to say about one of the key issues that that department is going to face. This is clip 9A.
Across the country, we've had some school districts open, meaning kids going to school, others absolutely closed, kids only going on remote. The evidence doesn't show so far that those that have been having kids in classrooms are seeing a spike in COVID cases. There are also countries that kept their schools open. They haven't seen a spike in COVID cases. I don't understand why our schools are still closed. I there are some of us who feel it's a submission to the teachers' unions. And because they're such big donors to the Democratic Party, that the administration is saying, we're not at state levels, at the federal level, we're not going to push to get our schools open. But, you know, grocery store workers are working, drugstore workers, taxi drivers, EMS workers, healthcare workers. But there's just as much a priority for our kids to be educated. And I just can't understand why, given the fact that the data doesn't show that there's a problem for teachers or for families having kids going to school, we got to get our kids into school.
Okay, this is obviously a very, very important point where people on the right, Republicans, conservatives, I think have really come together on this. It is not to be foolhardy. It is not to endanger people. But it is to try to triumph over the teachers' unions, which are a special interest and are not putting the cause of children or of Americans at large ahead of their own parochial aims. Senator Romney continued talking about COVID relief spending on education. And he's completely correct, and I'm very glad that he's making the case. This is clip 9B.
The administration is proposing $170 billion going to education as part of the 1.9 COVID program, but only 5% of that is getting spent in this year. 95% is for years down the road. It has nothing to do with getting our kids safe and our schools open again. I just I don't understand why the administration does not directly encourage all of our school districts to open again. And if we're going to send out $170 billion, which I don't support, but if we're going to send out $170 billion, it ought to be linked to them agreeing to get the doors open and get the kids back in the classroom. I that's my chance to make a point, and hopefully you'll take that point to the administration.
Okay, he used up his allotted time without getting much of an answer from Secretary Designate Becerra. He's one of the Biden nominations that is in some trouble. He's a former member of the House. He was the former Attorney General of California. But he doesn't have any specific background or information in the health field or in the public health field. So it's a strange nomination in some ways, particularly at a moment like this. And speaking of the public health field, there is a new poll that I sort of looked at. It's attention getting, but then you wonder about it. It's covered in some detail at CNBC, and the headline is 38% of Americans would give up sex for a year just to travel again. Really? Here's a story. They say people are yearning to travel more than ever. This based on an Expedia survey. After staying home for nearly a year, Americans would give up anything to hit the road again, anything. Desperate vacationers said they would willingly give up love, sex, or money in exchange for a trip, according to a recent survey by the travel search site Trivago. To that end, nearly half, or 48%, said they would give up their job. They give up their job? 38% would give up sex for a year. One quarter would fork over all of their savings, and one in five said they would dump their partner if it meant they could take a trip in the near future. Is that an accurate reflection of American sentiment? First of all, when they say 38% would give up sex for a year, what's misleading about that is there have been all kinds of surveys about people surviving during the pandemic, and generally about people's sexual habits. There's a significant number of Americans who don't have sex in the course of a year. No, really, there are. And so I'm sure those people would gladly give up sex because they're not having any. Just in order to travel. Well, the point, it seems to me, here is when it says give up your savings, give up your job, give up sexuality, give up your partner just to take a trip. I think this is a way of maybe juicing the travel industry, but I don't necessarily believe that these are careful, well thought out answers, because part of the fun of travel, what makes travel enjoyable, is traveling with people you care about. Traveling alone is never as satisfying or important. And speaking of traveling alone and living alone, there's yet another big Gallup poll, and this at a time when Congress is debating that Equality Act, about the LGBT community. And this is unbelievable. They headline it, 1 in 10 LGBT Americans are married to a same-sex spouse. How does that compare with Americans in general? Well, it's almost half of Americans in general are married to an opposite-sex spouse. But here's the amazing thing. There are more LGBT adults who are married to opposite-sex spouses, in other words, a man married to a woman, there are more of those than there are married to a same-sex spouse. Why would that be? Now think about it. You identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgendered. why would you be more likely to marry someone of the opposite sex in a traditional marriage? Why would that be more popular among LGBTQ adults? Answer, the overwhelming majority of LGBTQ adults are in fact bisexual. And what they show here is that among bisexuals, it's vastly more common to be married to an opposite sex spouse. Among bisexuals, who again represent the majority of LGBTQ people, among bisexuals, 17.2%, according to this intensive Gallup study, are married to someone of the opposite sex. And how many are married to somebody of the same sex? 1%. So bisexuals are 17 times more likely to be married to opposite sex partners than are to be married to same-sex partners. Part of what all of this, I think, goes to is when you talk about the desire to marry an opposite-sex partner, and basically the idea was that once this was adjusted in the law, there would be this huge upsurge, and everybody who was gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender would get married. That hasn't happened. There are still, of the people who are married in this country, less than 1%. Are married to same-sex people. That's right. Whereas again, the chance, if you do not identify as straight, the chances are overwhelming you will be married at some point in your life. Not everybody, but far more common. Far more common for LGBTQ people to remain single for life. Does that have some impact on public policy? It should, in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, now, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.